You'll open your Bibles this morning once again to the book of Ephesians. Well, let me double check if this one is, and I'm assuming that one is. Yeah, we're good there. Okay, thanks for checking. Okay, Ephesians chapter number 1 again, and then also get your homework out because we're going to grade it. Let me see who's got the homework now. Come on. Okay. Oh, good, good. We got some folks over here. Okay, awesome. Jim, good. Everybody, who else? Okay, so you got to pass your homework around. We're going to pass it to your neighbor. We're going to grade it. No. Right. If they can read it, yeah. Yeah. So let's look at Ephesians chapter number 1, and then we'll go over your the homework here. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you that we can spend some time again this morning refocusing on eternal things and desiring to allow those eternal things impact time. In that we would walk by faith in what we're seeing here, that we would believe it, not just talk about it, not just have it be theory, and not just say, oh yeah, I know all that stuff, but that we would really know it, that we would acknowledge it, that we would let it penetrate our heart, our hard hearts, and work in us to reach out, to be simply used as vessels, humble and willing to be used by you, willing to be loved by you, and to let that love work through us towards others. And we do ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I gave you a homework assignment last week, and that was to make a list of at least, was it 25 things? 25 things that would be considered blessings. You'll notice that the verse says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that God is, He's happy to do this. He's happy to have blessed us. He who hath blessed us. He's already done this. Joe, you were talking about that this morning. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whatever blessings there are that are spiritual in nature and that are relative to the heavenly places, they're already in your bank account when you got placed in Christ. Okay? They are already yours. What I want to do before we go over your list, your homework, because we're going to check the homework here in just a minute, all right? But before we go over the homework, I'm going to look at a parallel passage in the Old Testament so that we can at least appreciate, maybe to a little bit greater degree, the idea of the fact that we already are blessed. The idea of being blessed. What does that mean? Look over to Psalm 68 here. Look over to Psalm 68. If you say you are blessed, what do you mean by that? Happy, that's exactly what that word means, by the way. Remember? Happy, but you're happy because why? You're blessed. What does it mean that you've been blessed? What's that mean?
You've got something,
man. keep really slang and basic and down to earth. I got something, man. I got something of value here. Kind of a thing, you know? It's one thing if you have something and it ain't worth anything, right? But you have something and it means something to God. And you don't have just some thing. You got a whole host of things. You got all the blessings that are spiritual in nature. They're non-material in their nature that are connected with the heavenly places. You already have them all. God's already given them to you. By the way, an interesting opportunity often presents itself when someone sneezes and someone else says, bless you, and you say,
thank you.
I already have been. And you say, I've already been blessed in Christ. What are you, your coworker? What are you talking about? Get away from that guy. You know, what are you talking about? Anyway, that's an interesting opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. And or just to remind yourself about, you know, I'm already blessed in Christ. Right? Do we ever need to be reminded of that? How often? Yeah. For those of you who might think, and I don't think you think this way, but for anyone who thinks that, well, I don't remember that all the time, you know what? You just blew it right there, okay? You need to remember it all the time. All the time, your identity in Christ. But watch this passage here. This is Psalm 68, and it's an interesting phrase here. You go back and read the context about that God blessed Israel. For those of you that were here this morning, and I mentioned during the Sunday school hour about a verse I was reading, and I was just thinking, okay, Lord, can you bring that one to pass like right now? It's actually verse 1. Look at verse 1. That's not the verse I want you to see, but look at that verse. I'm reading that verse. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them that hate him flee before him. I'm saying, yeah, amen, Lord. So be it. Right now. Come on, Lord. But that was the verse that got me kind of stirred up this morning. But at any rate, in the context here, the psalmist writes about the great deliverance that God gave to Israel when he brought them out of Egypt and then gave them various blessings. But notice the phrase here, verse 19. This is what I want you to see. This is kind of a parallel here. He says this, 68:19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with what? Benefits, even the God of our salvation." When you think of blessing, and by the way, when it says Selah there, that's not just looking at Israel's past, it's actually looking for in their future going through the tribulation period. But you see the idea of benefits there, benefits. God has, He's benefited you with all the spiritual benefits that are available in heavenly places in Christ. Now, how many of you that worked for a company that have a benefits package? Does anybody here work with a company? That's true too, yeah. It's way shrinking. Aren't you glad that God's not changing the plan for what the benefits He gave you? He says, you know what? I'm sorry, I've kind of overspent my budget in the heavenly places and I'm going to have to start cutting back on the blessings I've given you, I promise. I'm just going to start cutting back on. From now on, those of you that I promised I would bless you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, I'm not going to go back and renege on that. You're like in the union. I'm not going to change the unions, okay? But anyone from future now, because I have to cut back on the budget and the Republicans won't let me raise the taxes. Anyway, if you're saved from this day forward, you're only going to get half the spiritual blessings there on heaven places. Now, I just get myself in trouble, didn't I? With some people. Some people got, I promise you, get real upset with just what I said there. But if you look at the concept there, you can relate to that. You work for an employer. If they have benefits, it might be medical benefits, medical program. It might be dental benefits. It might be life insurance. It could be for a savings kind of a plan. So we understand at least the basic idea that if someone offers you benefits, it's something that is to your benefit. That's something that can help your life be better from various aspects and so forth. If you look at that verse, that verse says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us." Man, back up your truck and let the Lord just pour it and load that baby up there, you know, with benefits. Now, in the past, think about Israel back there when He brought them out of Egypt. What was significant about the idea of daily? Daily bread, their manna and so forth. He daily provided for them. Everybody see that? And even in the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ taught Israel to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Out there in that tribulation period, the little flock there, by the way, when you see that word Selah, that's why every time you see that word Selah, you want to think of it in the context of Israel going through the tribulation period. But out there in that tribulation period, God is truly going to daily load them with what they need to make it through that time frame. You see the parallel there? You see the principle? God is not daily loading me and you with benefits that we need to get through the tribulation period. God has already completely overfilled your dump truck with all the spiritual blessings that are available. He's already given them to you. And He did it not in the sense of Him dumping you and dumping them in your dump truck. He took you and put you into Christ. And everything that Christ has, all the spiritual blessings that are available in the heavenly places that will be necessary to run the heavenly places that you and I will need in order to function in heavenly places, all of them have already been credited to your account because you're in Christ. See that there?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing to think about that? So we are already blessed. Now, I asked you last week to make a list of, say, about 25 or so. And all you really had to do, if you just read through the book of Ephesians, they're in the book. You read Ephesians, yeah, you probably, who said that? You've underlined them all? Yeah. Yeah, you just read through chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and they're in the book right there. And then just go to Philippians next, and then go to Colossians next. There are obviously some in Romans and so forth. But when you think about spiritual blessings in heavenly places, think of it from this perspective. Whatever it is that you wrote on your list, and we're going to go through those here in just a moment, whatever that you wrote on your list, is that something that is of value to God that He gave to you freely in Christ that will facilitate or enhance your service to Him in the heavenly places, world without end, amen. That's how to decide. So each of the things we look at, we're going to say, okay, is this a benefit to being a member of the body of Christ in heavenly places? All right. Now I have on my list here, it's such small print, I'm hoping I can read this here. But I've got some listed. So on your list there, I'm going to read some of these off, and you just check them off if they're on your list. If they're not on your list, just write these down. Lori's got, and you've seen before, we have that little ABC thing. You can just take the letters of the alphabet. Okay, here, quick guys, test question. How many letters are there in the English? Ooh, good. So see, you could have just done that and you'd have had 25 at least. But all you got to do is A, B, C, D, and so forth. Most of us recognize that. I recognize that one because of my report cards all the time. Anyway, so for example, what would A be? Accepted in the blood. Is that a benefit? Is that something that we need in order to serve God in the heavenly places forever? Do we need to be accepted in the beloved? Yes. And then I didn't hear what you said. And that's another one. Adopted. The adoption. We're not adopted yet. We're going to be. Okay. What would be? What are some examples? Blessed. Beloved. Buried. Blessed, baptized. See, you got about five or six that can start with B. What would C be?
Complete.
Circumcised. Okay. D. Delivered. Dead. See all that? So you can go down the English language, each of the letters, and you can get 26 right there. Now, one of them you kind of have to fudge a little bit on. It's the one that starts with X. that one you kind of have to. Yeah, excited, he says. Okay. What's that? Exalted. Yeah, you kind of have to. But even if you don't, let me read this list over here that I've gotten. Again, these are going to be very, very similar. It's just these appear basically in the order in which Paul brings them up in the book. Okay. And without question, the blessing that is the blessing that includes all others, without question, is that we are in Christ. Okay? Would you everybody agree with that? Everything's in there, in Christ. Why is that a benefit? Why is that a... That's where everything is? That's where the righteousness is? That's all the other ones are. See that? That's the only way you got them. The gift that includes all others. You've seen the packages where, you know, during Christmas time or whatever, somebody has a great big box and everything, and then they open that up and there's a smaller box, and there's a smaller box, and so on. The gift that includes all others is the gift of Christ. See that? Paul says in Corinthians, he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift that includes all others is that we're in Christ. We were given Christ. See that? So everything else in the list, when we were placed into Christ, and Christ was given to us and us to Him, it's all in that. It's all there. So really, number one that I have on the is we're in Christ. The second one I've got, and I'm going to go through these much more quickly here, but that we're chosen in Him. We were not chosen in Adam. The choosing is not in us. The choosing is in Christ. We were chosen in Christ. Why is that a benefit in the heavenly places forever? We don't take our Adamic nature. We didn't contribute anything. We don't bring our Adamic nature with us into Christ. We are the elect. That's how Paul says over in Colossians. That we are the elect. He says, the elect of God, holy and beloved. We're chosen in Christ. Again, why is that a benefit? Why is that a blessing for you and me that we need to live in the heavenly places forever? Why do we need that? He's our life. Uncorruptible. What does he mean to God? Everything. See that? That's what you mean to God. Because you're in him. You're chosen in him. You're part of him. Never see yourself apart from Christ. And if you're not in him, you're in Adam and you're not chosen. And you're not blessed. See that? Never see yourself apart from Christ. I couldn't hear. Yeah, you believe in the gospel of Christ. And in the course, in the context, we're talking about those who are in Christ. Everything starts with you. If you're not in Christ, then none of this applies to you so far. Okay? Never see yourself apart from Christ. Have we ever heard that a few times? Have I ever said that a few times? Have you ever said that a few times? Then why don't we believe it? How often do we see ourselves apart from Christ? As soon as our mind wanders. Hey, listen, the thing about this local family here is that, you know what, there's nothing to hide. We all know each other. Right? What's the point of hiding something anyway? Is there any victory and power in hiding something? We're the family. If you've got to talk about something, we're the ones to talk about it with. And how come you can talk with your brother and sister in Christ about these things?
Because you know
what?
They've gone through it.
Listen, we all got the same flesh. The sense that they might just wear different clothing, but we just all got the same flesh. I got the flesh of a man. Males, you got the flesh of a man. Ladies, you got the flesh of a woman. You can talk to my wife. And so forth. But we all carry the same flesh. But because we're chosen in Christ, let's never see ourselves apart from Christ. You suppose there might be any benefit to that awareness this side of glory?
Yes.
Such as?
You're going to have all the tribulations, but at least you can mentally go through them.
Yeah.
Be thankful for
you're going to have the struggles of this life, whatever they are. Financial, emotional struggles, relationship struggles. You're going to have the struggles of life.
Physical.
The physical health issues. Never see yourself apart from Christ. And when I say apart from Christ, I'm talking this whole list here that we're trying to get through. So when that struggle comes along, whatever it is, and don't say, well, John, you just don't know. You're right, I don't know. But God knows. And the Scripture has the answer. Whatever the struggle is, when we're fixing to have that bad attitude or fixing to make a wrong choice or fixing to do this, you just stop and say, wait. Can I see myself in Christ and at the same time go do this thing? What's the answer?
No.
You can't. You have to, at least for a moment in time, decide to be a non-believer. You have to, for a moment in time, to be a non-believing believer. You know what you call that? Yes, that's true. And some other things, but that's true. We oppose ourselves! Paul talks about them that oppose themselves. They're against their very self. They're against their very identity in Christ. You know? We don't believe who we are. We say, God, I know you say that's who I am, but God, you are wrong. God, you don't know my situation. If only you really understood what I went through, then you would have made a different provision. See how crazy we are? Just in the choices that we make that just make no sense and everything. So, and we all make them. You know, it's not just me up here. We all make them. Never see ourselves apart from Christ. We're chosen in Him. We're the elect in God's eyes because we're in Christ. And that's just the second one. I have to move on much more quickly here. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the adoption. The next one, we're promised that we will have glorified celestial bodies. We talked about that last week. By the way, why is that a blessing? Why is that a benefit? Yeah, that's right. They really do. They're just corrupting. They're just fading. They're just in that battle that we face in the flesh. Sin is resident in the flesh. So that great struggle that we experience as believers, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have Christ as our life inside of us, and our soul and our inner man and so forth, but we have that sin in the flesh, and so that great struggle that we have, I don't mean great in the sense of a good thing. I mean, it's great in the sense that it's real, it's powerful. And that great struggle that we have, you know what? God has promised us a glorified celestial body. Why do you need a celestial body? Again, we talked about that last time. How come? Because that's where it's going to function in the heavenly places. Okay, quickly. Next is we've been accepted. What difference does that make?
Accepted. You can't go there if you're not accepted. You can't go in the door if they don't want you there.
That's right. Yes. And in Christ, you are already accepted. Why is that good to know right here, right now? Can I ask you this way? Do you know anyone in your life, ever, past or present, that didn't quite accept you? And made you always feel like you came up short? And who is it doing it now? Mostly it's you. There's a new song out there that I just heard last week or whatever. The title of the song is Wasted. I forget who's Carrie Underwood or something like that sings it. And it's a secular song. It's not professing to preach the gospel or nothing like that. But the essence of the song, I heard that song, I go, wow, that's kind of a great message. And one of the lines of the song says that I've made the decision to stop living for yesterday. All the things in the past, all the lack of it. They don't say all this in the song, but you see, the idea of acceptance, we're all looking for love somewhere. We're all looking to be accepted somewhere. And if only this person would just accept me, if only this person would have just acknowledged me, if only this person would, and listen, get over it! Yesterday's gone, it's done! And you are in Christ! But what's that? There, yeah. I'm telling you. You're in Christ already. You're already accepted. Never to be cast out. Jim, go ahead. Isn't that incredible? What is that? Because you have the four parallels right there. What does that verse say? That is incredible. That doesn't even say the same thing, does it?
No.
Yeah, yeah. It truly is an eternal blessing. It's a benefit that God has already accepted you in Christ. Lord, help us to believe you.
Nothing should separate from the love of God.
Nothing. Don't we fight with the Lord on those things? We say we're believers, but we become non-believing believers. We argue with the Lord about these things. Isn't that something? We're accepted in the Beloved. That means never, ever to be cast out. Never to be looked down upon by the Father. God always sees you accepted in Christ. Next one is we're forgiven. Is that a big one? That's gigantic. Next one is holy and without blame. Next time that we find ourselves blaming ourselves, and does that ever happen? Maybe we should change our tune and sing a different song. We can say, we can acknowledge, Lord, yes, I did that thing, and it was wrong. But God, you see me holy and without blame. So God, I choose to see myself that way. No longer condemned. No longer worthless. No longer unacceptable. You see me in Christ, holy, and without blame. For all eternity. A benefit that God's already loaded you with because He's placed you in Christ. Holy and without blame. And then it says before Him, in love. You are absolutely beloved by the Father. How much does God love you?
Much as He loves Christ.
How much is that?
Infinite.
I want you to do something, and you might think this is corny. You might, yeah, this big. No, way big. You know, imagine that you're a little grandkid and so forth. By the way, Josh and Anne-Marie, they're coming right along. They said he's starting the show, so the old baby bump and everything. He is, yeah. So, But you know, you've got that, you got the little grandkid and just looking up to grandma and grandpa with those big eyes and everything, just so tender and everything, and you ask them, how much, do you know how much grandma loves you? And you know, this big kind of thing, you know, that's as big as they can think. Listen, God loves you. Stretch them out, right? Yeah, just no bounds to it. And what we want to do is we want to truly allow ourselves to be loved. Okay. We put all these conditions upon love, don't we? And our human love is conditional indeed. But aren't you glad God doesn't love us based upon our capacity to love Him? Or even our capacity to love ourselves? He loves us based upon His capacity to love Christ. That's how much He loves you. Why is that an eternal blessing? Why is that a benefit that we need to function in heavenly places? Hope never changes. A million years from now, a gazillion years from now, whatever the bigger number is beyond that, you will still be so amazed and impressed with by how much God loves you. Lord, let us be impressed with it now. I got to move on quickly, don't I? He says He's made known to us the mystery of His will. God's let us in on His plan. Why is that a blessing? God's made known unto us the mystery of His will. Why is that a benefit? So we can understand it, but from eternal perspective, why is that a benefit? Why do we need that in eternity future? Why do we need that in the... We need to know what His goal in the heavenly places are so that we can labor together with Him, not just here, but then. And God has let us know. God has made known to us the mystery of His will. God has let us in on His eternal plan called glory. It's, let me see if I can find this passage here. I didn't write it down. Maybe John 15. Let me see. Watch this. Look at John 15. Let me use a parallel, an illustration here. John 15. Is everybody okay with me so far? Are you checking these off your list? You might have them in different words, but check them off on your list there. Watch this. This is simply an illustration of the idea of why it is that by God telling us His will, what it means to Him. This is just an illustration, just a parallel. Watch this. Look at John 15, 14. I'm going to go back to verse 13. John 15, 13. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a pretty good verse, isn't it? But by the way, when that verse says greater love has no man than this, is there a greater love that God has? And what is it? He laid down his life for his enemies. That verse says, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You and I were not the friends of God. We were His enemies. And Christ laid down His life. Anyway, keep reading. He says, watch this. Ye are my, what? My friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now do you see how when he refers to them as friends, it clearly elevates his view of their relationship to him by calling them friends? From servants to friends. What is the difference? Being let in on the information. See that there? If you were just servants, you guys would do fine at it and so forth, but I'm just not going to tell you everything I'm doing because I don't need to. You're not qualified to get the information. You don't need it. But he says, I'm now calling you friends, because I've let you in on all that the Father has told me. And that's not even the mystery there. You're still in the prophecy program. So now all of a sudden you come to the dispensation of grace and God says, listen, to the Apostle Paul, he says, I've made known unto you the mystery of my will. I have elevated you from just servants and even higher than just friends. I've let you in on what I'm doing for all eternity so that we can serve together in the ages to come in the heavenly places, labors together That's a blessing. It's a blessing that God has made known to us what He's doing. We don't have this side of eternity. Why, Lord? Why? Why? Everything happens. Why did God do this? Why did God do this? Oh, we just can't know because God works in mysterious. Those confuse. You know what? We won't be saying those kind of things in the heavenly places. We'll say, Lord, I know what You're doing, and I'm going to go serve You this way. See that? It's a blessing to know that. We have obtained an inheritance. Is that a blessing? We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Is that a blessing? Why is that a blessing? There you go. Since we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and Christ is our life, therefore we do have spiritual power. Is that a blessing? Do we actually have enough spiritual power right here, right now, to serve Christ in the details of life? Yes. We're not spiritually impotent, friends. You know, we may feel like it sometimes. There's just no power over this, no power. Yeah, there is. It's unbelief that says there's no power to get victory over whatever this thing is that we struggle with. See that? So we have spiritual empowerment. Next one, Christ. We have Christ as our head. Why is that important? Because He's calling the shots. There's just no other way to say that one. He's the boss. We have Christ as our head. He's been made the head of the body of Christ. For all eternity, we will look to Him as our head. Why is that important? Why is it important that for all eternity we will forever still look to Him as our head? How come?
Because He'll never make a mistake.
That's exactly right. See that? We have Christ as our head. We are, this is the next, we are the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We have been quickened with Christ. I'm just going to run through these next ones quickly. We've been quickened together with Christ. We've been raised up and set together with Christ in the heavenly places. That together, together, together. Why the together thing? Why the together thing there? Exactly. Never separated from Him, okay? Listen to this one. We are the objects of His grace. The objects of His grace. We are the... Wow! God set His love upon us because we are in Christ. We are the ones that God is thrilled with demonstrating the exceeding riches of His grace to. We are the objects of His favor, His grace. That's a blessing. Indeed, along with that, we are saved by grace, sanctified by grace, sealed by grace, all the by grace stuff, okay? We are His workmanship. Aren't you glad of that? Imagine, what if God said to me or to you, you know what, I need some help on this, Barry. Come help me form and make the body of Christ. Would you help me do this thing? How would it work? Yeah, you know, it's like you try to put a window where a door goes and a door where a bathroom goes or whatever. Lord, I didn't quite do that right. No, it didn't work so well. It's true at home too, okay? You know, we are His workmanship. We are indeed one new man, one new species of humanity. Why is that a blessing? That we're one new man. Why is that an eternal blessing?
Because the old one wasn't working.
He had to make it brand new. We have access to the triune God. Look at that verse. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2:18 with 3:12. Access. This is a powerful one too. These are all powerful. But access. Ephesians 2:18 says this. For through Him, that's Christ, we both have what? Access. Did I give you the right reference there?
Yeah.
By one Spirit. Did you see the triune God there? You've got Christ, the Father, and the Spirit. We have access. We have access to the triune God. Compare that with chapter 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I've said before that if you compare this idea of access to Israel in the Old Testament, did Israel have access to God?
Yes.
Yes, they did. But what kind of access was it? It was very limited, and there was a go-between. And even that person who was the go-between, the high priest and so forth, did he have unlimited access to God? He actually did not. He could not go into the holiest of holies, and he could only, except what, once a year? And he had to have blood. And he had to, he kind of walked in a little concerned, didn't he? Because if he did it right, if he didn't do everything just right, he was snuffed out. What a great contrast. The access that you and I have to God today, the doors open all the time. There's no fear of coming in with the wrong question or the wrong request or the wrong admission. You have for all eternity, we're going to have access to the Creator of heaven and earth to talk with Him, to fellowship with Him. That's a blessing right there. Where to leave off? Access to the Father. We're fellow citizens as well as fellow saints. We're members of the household, though in the heavenly places. Jim, you were talking about that this morning. Remember the household of God? We are built upon the foundation where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. Why is that important? So it's going to last, okay? It's a sure, solid foundation. We are the habitation of God through the Spirit. By the way, do you see how this list is following chapter 1 and now towards the end of chapter 2? See how it's just following just in Ephesians there? We are the habitation of God through the Spirit. We're partakers of His promise. We have the one hope. We have the one baptism. Why is that a blessing? It's the real one. It's the one that counts, right? We have been given the gift of Christ. We've been made members, not only with Christ, but members one of another. Let's slow down on this one for just a minute, okay? Why is, and how is, being members one of another, why is that a blessing? You ever thought about yourself as a blessing to someone else? They may not ask them. Anyway, don't ask their opinion, right? But how come being members one of another in the body of Christ, why is that an actual blessing? I mean, that's right. Yes. Yeah. Good. What else?
Encouraging.
Good. What else? Support. Excellent. We need each other. Okay. Look there over in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16, it says it this way. It says, from whom the whole body... Are you in there?
Yes.
Fitly joined together and compacted that by that which every joint supplieth. Are you in there? According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Are you in there? Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of... Next word. Are you in there? In love. Do you realize that you impact other members of the body of Christ? I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way. Does your heart impact your lungs? Do your lungs impact your, say, brain? Do your intestines impact your body? Your skin. Does your skin have any impact on your body as a whole? They say the skin is actually the biggest organ in your body and so forth. You know, does your skin impact your body? Isn't that fascinating? The protection that your skin provides. You take and rip that skin off and you're not going to, because infection's going to come on in. Your immune system. Your circulatory system. Think about your physical body. It is a blessing to the whole body that you have all these parts. And all the parts have a job to do. Now, they don't always cooperate. That's called dis-ease, right? And so forth. And I guess we as body of Christ, we want to parallel the dis-ease type thing. We're not supposed to, right? Listen, you impact one another. By faith, let us see it. The decisions that I make, the decisions that you make, the decisions that we make, we, according to the Scripture, we impact one another. But it's a blessing. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's a benefit. Let's be that blessing to one another. See that? For all eternity, we will still function as the body of Christ in those heavenly places. God has blessed us with that capacity, with being in the body of Christ. Of course, He's given us eternal life. Why is that important? Because you're going to have to live for a long time in order to see the ages to come. He's given you righteousness. Why is that true? I mean, why do we need righteousness? because we're going to be in his presence, right? He's blessed you with true holiness. He's given us the armor of God, all the pieces in chapter 6. I'm not going to detail those. Listen, these are just some of the blessings here. This is just in Ephesians, and this is, we probably left about half of them out. You go to Philippians, find some more. Colossians, find some more. When we go through life, people say, John, teach me how to apply sound doctrine. There's a whole list. Right there. So how do we, on a day-by-day basis, take these truths, these blessings that we have, how do you apply these things? How do you actually do that? I'm asking, how do you actually do that?
By faith.
Yes, by faith, but what does that mean?
But you focus on those things instead of focusing on your circumstances.
It is. Listen, that's one of the key ways to say it right there. It truly is a matter of what we're focusing on, because what we're focusing on, we're giving ourselves to. That's what we're believing. Look how Paul says it in Philippians chapter number 1. Look at Philippians chapter number 1. Let's quit believing the lies of our past. They might have been true about our past, but what difference does it make? It's our past. It isn't who God says we are in Christ. Nowhere in this list that I read does it say, you're a failure. Your mama did this to you. Your daddy did this to you. Your boss did this to you. You're just no good. You're just a failure in your life and everything. It's nowhere on this list. You just keep sinning. You just keep doing this and so forth. I'm so disgusted with you. I can't believe I put you in the body of Christ. What was I thinking that day that I saved you? That's not on the list. So why do we keep believing those things? Why do we love the lies instead of loving the Lord? What's the answer to that question? I'm asking us. Amen. Thank you. Sometimes you have to go through and struggle a lifetime of living the lies, getting beat up so bad with the lies that they don't love you, they don't care about you. But sometimes it's not until we've been beat up so many times that we say, you know what? There's no power there. There's no victory there. Oh, man. That's right. All that self-pity, all the self-centered, it's all... No.
You
got to
ask yourself what God thinks is so good.
Yeah.
Well, who cares what anyone thinks about me?
Yeah. And even yourself. Who cares what I think? It isn't what I think about me. It's what Scripture thinks about me. See that? But listen, that's how you apply these. It's just practically speaking. There's no quote-unquote magical formula that all of a sudden makes you obey everything. Okay, I'm Marcus Faye now. No. It's faith. We walk by faith, believing God's Word. I'm going to choose to believe when my flesh is screaming at me, when my flesh wants me to give itself over to this, when I got to make that, when my flesh is telling me this is the reality. No. This is the reality. I choose to believe this. It's a choice you make. And I heard something on the TV the other day that it was pretty good, and it's about something else, but I'm going to apply it to here. He was talking about developing confidence in certain things that you do. And again, it wasn't the Christian based, it wasn't none of that at all, it was just something else. It was in the secular world. But he made the point that he says developing confidence happens a little at a time. Almost like little baby steps. And then pretty soon, maybe a little bit bigger steps. But it happens a little at a time. So when you struggle through something, and you find you go back to do it again, and then you feel terrible because you did it, and you condemn yourself because you did it, and so forth, and then you get some victory, and then you go back again. Oh man, how do I get over this type thing? Don't beat yourself up, first and foremost. Go back to the checklist. See who you are in Christ. And be willing just to take those small steps of faith, a little at a time, trusting who you are in Christ, resting in your completeness in Christ. Say that again. Oh, yes, that's a gigantic one right there, isn't it? Did you hear what she said? letting go of the pride, because the pride says, I can do it, I know everything, I know enough. And that is a form of pride. It's exactly a form of pride, self-centered pride. It's a false sense of humility. Yes. Truly, God's word works in the hearts that believe. Don't condemn yourself if you don't believe. Come back to Scripture. Believe what it says. Like you said, Barry, what are we going to focus on? Focus on Him who loves us. Him who loves you. Him who loves me. Don't focus on the things that don't love you. See that? Truly see ourselves in Christ. Blessed. God's happy to have done this to us. God did it to you. He's happy to have done this to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, say it with me, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. That's the place to be. And thank God that's where you are. That's what matters. He's the one that matters. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You that we can spend some time as a family here this morning. Just brothers and sisters in Christ, the household of faith in this local assembly, realizing that we all have the same flesh. None of us in and of ourselves deserve any of what You have given us in Christ. It truly is all by grace. God, help us to be impressed with You, with how happy You are to have done this, with how excited Christ is about the fact that You've made us a part of Him, and about the fact that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us and bring to light these wonderful truths in Your Word, and to empower us to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit, by Your Spirit in our inner man. And God, another blessing that we didn't talk about, but is certainly true, is not just Your ability, that You are able to do all these things, but You are completely committed to bringing this all to pass. You're in 100%. God, help us to remember this. We thank You that we can take some time this morning renewing our minds, cleansing out the old thinking with what Your thinking is. And we're grateful. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we as a local assembly give Thee praise and honor.